Brother Andy for another hymn, at which time the children ages 12 and under are invited to the basement area for Sunday school. Visitors, please, if you're here and you're not sure where you're going, please ask someone. We'll gladly help you to get to your classes if you're unsure of where you're going. We want you to feel welcome as we've gathered here this morning to worship the Lord. The remainder of us, 13 and up, we will remain here in the main auditorium for Sunday school. Our teacher for this morning is Brother Randy Weaver from the Mummers congregation. He and his wife are here with us. And his desire this morning is to exalt Christ. So please continue to pray for him as he comes and leads our Sunday school hour after the hymn.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Are you excited to come and worship the Lord and Savior that has redeemed us? I greet you in his name. I stand here of a man who's been forgiven. I still need forgiveness as I walk and journey with Christ. There's at times I fail, and I need to cry out and call upon his name. And I'm thankful that he's a man, he's a God who hears, and he hears our prayers, and he's one who is willing to forgive us if we are willing to serve him with our whole heart. In our lesson today, we're going to study about John the Baptist, our forerunner of Christ. And the forerunner of us today as Christians is the Holy Ghost. He goes out before us. He dwells within us. We have power to overcome because of him, the Holy Ghost. But John was a forerunner of Christ. John and his family was a remnant left of Israel, of the tribe of Judah. They were ones who were obedient. They were still obedient to the things of God. You see, the Bible was written in four categories. It starts out in Genesis with Adam. After God created, he created the heavens and the earth. They were to be eternal. They were to be everlasting. But through sin, God had to separate because God cannot stand sin. All things are holy in his presence. There is nothing unholy. So we go to Genesis chapter 5. God created Adam and he had a son, Seth, and he made him in the likeness. God created likeness. He put his spirit in that generation of Seth. Cain slew his brother Abel and he was cursed and there was death, was his destiny, because he disobeyed. And so the warfare between good and evil had begun back there after everything was created perfect because of a choice. We still have that choice today, by the way. We have choices. And even after we come to Christ and we know him, we have a choice to obey him or to disobey him. Not everybody who comes to Christ will be in heaven. Only those who are willing to obey the Holy Ghost after they receive him. We need to walk in obedience, and we're going to see that with John this morning. So going back to Genesis, Seth walked in obedience and his generations. Cain and his generations walked against God. There was adultery. There was murder. In Seth's lineage, there was one who God took because of righteousness, because of holiness. You see, there was a warfare between good and evil. And God created man. And when man began to mingle with evil, the sons of God saw the daughters of Cain. And they began to mingle. Righteousness and unrighteousness began to mingle. And as evil overcame good, God stopped and destroyed the earth and started with Noah and his house. He started with Noah and his house. So it goes, Adam, Seth, man, to Noah and his house. And by the way, every man of Cain was destroyed that day. There was not one man of Cain left after the ark, after Noah and the ark, for Noah came from Seth. Today, it's not about flesh and blood, by the way. We'll get to that. But back then, God was building on the earth, and he wanted righteousness to prevail. So he started with Noah and his house. And you don't go far in Genesis, you get to Genesis 11, and mankind became united again. Good and evil became united at the Tower of Babel. We became one language. and good and evil became united. And God, in chapter 12 of Genesis, pulled out Abraham. He called Abraham out, the beginning of a nation, a holy nation, a righteous nation. You see, God wants righteous people. He created us that way. He wants a relationship with us to this very day. So we had Adam, the Seth man, Noah and his house. Now we have Abraham, a nation. And then we get to our lesson today. After Solomon sinned, the Israel nation was cast away because of Solomon, by the way. But God kept one tribe, a remnant. And that was the tribe of Judah. And why did he keep that tribe? It was not because of their own righteousness, but it was because of their father David. Fathers, you have a great responsibility of influence to guard and guide our children until they come to the truth of Jesus Christ. That's where the power lies. That's how we overcome. So this tribe was a remnant left. You see, Israel was cast away because of Solomon. If you go back there into scriptures, God told Solomon that the temple was an everlasting temple. It would stand in there forever. But if he fell away, he would cast the temple and the people away from him. And they that walked by would wag their heads and hiss. And they would ask why. And the testimony of those people were because they were disobedient. And that's what happened. Solomon had a choice, but God spared a remnant. That remnant was huge. It was a one tribe out of 12 tribes. It was a lot of people. But we get into our lesson today. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, that remnant dwindled down to a few. And John the Baptist, his household was one of that remnant that was left. His father was Zacharias, and he's recorded in Luke chapter 1. And if you go to Luke chapter 1, you'll see at verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. That's what God wants from us today. He wants us to be a blameless people. John the Baptist's parents were blameless. They walked before the Lord uprightly. They were still being obedient. Zacharias was actually, if we continue on, it says in verse 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without. And at the time of incense, there is the remnant that was left before Christ walked on the earth. John the Baptist was born in a household of obedient parents. You know, many of our parents, our grandparents, are laying out here in the cemetery. They left the testimony. One day, if the Lord, if he doesn't return, we're going to be laying out there. What's our testimony? John the Baptist had great parents. They weren't perfect. I don't believe anybody is perfect. But we were made perfect through Christ. But he was willing to be obedient. And we know he was a forerunner of Christ. And when the angel Gabriel came to Elizabeth first, before he came to Mary, And he told Elizabeth the requirements. As a mother, there was requirements. There was obedience to follow. And when I was young, and as I studied the word as a boy, I often thought of Samson's mother. Because an angel came to her and required somewhat the same thing. No strong drink or no wine. You see, the testimony was to be holy, was to be righteous, was to be true. There was a responsibility for John the Baptist's parents. There's a responsibility for me and my wife as parents, we have a responsibility. And if our children rebel against the teachings of truth in life later on, our hands are clean if we guarded and guided the truth, if we were responsible as parents. And it doesn't go away as grandparents. We need to continue on too. There's a responsibility. John the Baptist in our lesson today had good parents and godly parents. And by the way, if you have anything, I like people's thoughts. And I appreciate, I like to learn. And so when people speak, I learn too. And it's encouraging. So if you have any thoughts, don't be afraid to stop me or just, take a moment and share your thoughts. We're a brotherhood. We need each other. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking about John the Baptist? What are you thinking about his parents? I believe sometimes as parents we do fail. And I remember one of my children came to me one day and he reminded me years later that I gave him spanking for something he didn't do. I accused him of lying to me. And I broke down and cried and grabbed him and told him I'm sorry. I need forgiveness. You see, we need to ask for forgiveness sometimes among our own brotherhood, among our own households. That is not weakness. That is strength. That is obedience. That is obedience. We need to ask for forgiveness. John the Baptist had great parents. They were obeying the things of the Lord. We get into John here. The book of John bears record a lot. It confesses truth. It's a testimony. And John writes here about John the Baptist in our lesson. Any thoughts before we continue on? What are you thinking? Amen. Thank you, brother. Our brother said that John had the power of truth, and the truth mattered more than anything. John the Baptist, you notice, he had a message. And you notice what his lifestyle was. He wore camel's hair, and he had wild locust honey. And when he came forth, it wasn't to portray earthly things. It was to portray a message of truth. I think sometimes we focus on things. We wonder why our children don't want to walk in truth. We focus on things. When I was a boy, I remember my grandfather talking about a man who maybe bought another farm. And I'm pushing the little truck on the floor. And I'm thinking, if I want Grandpa's blessing, what do I got to do? You see, my grandpa wanted righteousness. He wanted holiness. But the conversation among my uncles and my father a lot of times was about earthly things and possessions. And so subconsciously, we start thinking about things. We want Grandpa to be proud of us. We want him to encourage us. We want him to feel blessed to be his grandson, And so sometimes we got to be careful with these earthly things. John the Baptist, when he came forth, he didn't say he had a castle on a hill and he came out of it and his father was rich and he had all these goods and, No. I don't believe anybody craved the lifestyle of John the Baptist. I really don't. Because I don't even crave it this day. But I do crave the holiness and righteousness and the truth that he portrayed. I love that. I love that. It comes with a price. It comes with a sacrifice. It comes with obedience. He guarded. I believe he was out there in the wilderness. I believe he guarded his imaginations. I believe his thoughts were right. They were holy. He didn't want the knowledge of evil. He wanted to be a righteous. He was a forerunner of the Holy One, the perfect Lamb. He had the Holy Ghost. Christ had the Holy Ghost also. You see, when he came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it led him into the wilderness, Christ. You see, they both had power from above. They both had power from above. And I don't believe John the Baptist coveted Christ. He realized his unworthiness. He realizes his need. They both had power from above. And they both were being obedient. You see, there was place there for a stumbling. There was a place there for maybe covetousness, like Judas. But John the Baptist knew. He knew the truth. And I think sometimes men who God has gifted with the knowledge of the scriptures, Satan would like them to be lift up themselves instead of giving the glory to Christ. And it's one of the temptations that many people have, I believe, ministers and people who teach and preach the word. Satan comes to them as a temptation at times. And some fail to that. It's important that we realize we are a needy people. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, we are nothing. We can't overcome on ourselves. I was having a discussion of that with my children this week. My children, we love to talk about the word of the Lord. And we often, on the phone, I have a daughter who lives in Iowa. And we'll talk, sometimes it'll end up being 10:30 at night. I'm still talking, and we're talking things of the Lord. And this week we were talking about, you cannot overcome Satan. Satan is more powerful than us. But by the Holy Ghost, he can overcome him. That's how we have victory. It's only by that power that John the Baptist in our lesson, the forerunner, is talking about. It's only by the power that we can overcome. For the things that we're trying to overcome is like Israel trying to overcome Jericho. In a foreign land, in the promised land. It was foreign to them at that time. They just entered in. And you know, Israel were stick people. They could have never overcome Jericho in themselves. But there was a power. And that's that power that helps us overcome, brothers and sisters, to this day. Isn't that a blessing? We are a blessed people. We sit here today. We are who we are because of Jesus Christ and the power that dwells within us. You realize what you have been spared from, the consequences of life that you have escaped and I have escaped, the covetousness, the revenge, the avenging that most of our fleshly desires would love to do when somebody offends us, that we have escaped because of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We are not living in torment today. We are a free people. We live in peace because of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost dwells within us. That power. And that's what John the Baptist here in chapter 3, as he was going out before the people, he was presenting Christ. Israel needed a deliverer. And by the way, after I wanted to get back there, Abraham was a nation. The New Testament that we talk about is of the kingdom. Jesus Christ in the kingdom. After Israel was cast away and the remnant, the tribe of Judah, the highest authority that God has provided for mankind to have a relationship with him is a kingdom. There's no higher authority than a kingdom. And so when evil begins to overcome good, it'll bring a second coming. And the evil that overcome the good will be among the believers. It's the believers that are turned away, the falling away, that'll bring his second coming. It says that he will shorten the days lest he lose all. He's talking about his own. So it goes Adam, Seth, man, Noah, and his house, Abram, a nation, and Jesus Christ, the kingdom. That's it. We're the latter days, brothers and sisters. It's the last structure God has built for mankind to have a relationship with him. We're of that kingdom era, the New Testament. It's about the kingdom. And all the nations are invited. Even Israel. See, they've been cast away. They're under the curse. They have to come to Christ today. Don't let deceivers point you to Israel. or Paul's teachings are in vain. The New Testament and Paul's teachings, he came to save Israel first and then the Gentiles. He came to receive his own. He came that they might have life. It's a way for Israel to escape today. It's the same way that you and I have the opportunity to escape God's wrath through Jesus Christ. Israel has to come to Jesus Christ. The nations are invited, but the nations rejected him. But God is calling a people among all nations. There is a people being called out among all nations in the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe the mannerisms of the saints of Jesus Christ are the same in every nation. The walk of God's people, the bride of Christ, the church, no matter what nation you go to, the mannerisms are the same. It doesn't matter if it's a rich nation or a poor nation. God's people walk, that walk in truth. They walk the same in any part of the world, walking in obedience. They're light, and that light is the same. John the Baptist is a forerunner of Christ. He's a light. He's portraying the light. Christ is a light, actually. He's portraying the light. He's a forerunner. Any thoughts before we continue? Any thoughts? What are you thinking? John was baptizing in another part. Jesus was at another part. Jesus baptized his disciples, but John was baptizing in another part. There was much water there. And as I studied this lesson, I had to think of another one who was baptized because there was water. It's in Acts chapter 8. It was Philip and the Enoch. And Philip was obeying the Spirit. That's what obedience looks like. I don't believe Philip wanted to go to the desert place. Why would you want to go there? But the Spirit wanted to go there. And so he went. And there was a man whose society, he was of Queen Canvas. He was of the cursed nation. But through Jesus Christ, he was eligible. And Philip went and ministered to that man. And that man came to Christ. And they came there, and the eunuch saw water. And he wanted to be baptized. And in Acts, there's one verse that requires him to be able to be baptized. If thou believest, thou mayest, Philip said. And he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And they went down into the water and were baptized. You see, it's a testimony. It's a witness that we believe. Baptism is a witness that we believe. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, there's three that bear record in heaven, and there's three that testify on earth. Baptism, the water, is part of that. People, when they get baptized, they're telling people around that they believe. They believe in Jesus Christ. They want to be part of his kingdom. Any thoughts? Amen. Thank you, brother. They're also testifying to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very important. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Our brother said, some people say, don't worry about your funeral. You die when you're baptized with Jesus Christ. You're raised with Jesus Christ. You die to the old nature, flesh. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Moving along, verse 24 here. For John was not yet cast into prison. And we know that story. We know the story. With John, in our lesson today, he's a forerunner. He's excited. But you go back there and read the account. I think it's in Matthew or it's in Luke, one of those accounts where he was in. He says, is he the Messiah or should we look for another? I believe he was tried. I believe it was tough on him. But yet he knew Christ had to increase. And he was being obedient. I believe he had peace. But you know what? Jesus sent disciples and encouraged him, talking about all the miracles and all the things Christ was doing. Sometimes we, in our walk, gets weary. Satan can weary us, but we have that power. We can pray, and we have that power of the Holy Ghost to encourage us. Praise the Lord. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. You see, the Jews were focused on the outward things. John was focusing on the inward things. It was the beginning of a washing, of a cleansing within. And they came unto John and said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. You see, they both had the Holy Ghost. But one was the Messiah, the Christ. He was baptizing also. They were saying, hey, John, there's this other guy doing that. You see, there could have been, John could have, if he was selfish or he was self-centered or if he was disobedient, there could have been a moment where he could have tried to claim glory. But he was not willing to. Praise the Lord. He was a true testimony, an example for each one of us. I'm grateful. Moving along, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He understood John was flesh. He was earthly. Christ was made flesh. He came from heaven. We were created out of the dust. Christ came from heaven. His father was the Holy Ghost. Mary was his mother on earth, but his father was the Holy Ghost. Any thoughts? What are you thinking? Moving along. Verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. You see, John was happy. Christ is coming to gather out a people. He was that perfect example. He was obedient to the Father, even unto death. And John was pointing that he must increase, and John must, he, as a forerunner, he must decrease. And I think that's a good example of us who rub shoulders with somebody who don't know Christ. And all of a sudden, their heart was open. God opened their heart, and they wanted to receive Christ. And we begin to mentor them. And we begin to tell them about Jesus Christ. And we begin maybe to have a study of his word with them. Or we bring them in among our fellowship, and we want them to be encouraged with the ministry. But eventually, Christ, they have to make a decision, and Christ has to take over their life. We can't be their savior. We can't take their and be their salvation. But we point them to Christ. But we bring them in, and we want them eventually Christ to rule their life wholeheartedly, and they give their life to Christ. It's a beautiful picture of that. We must decrease. We were that light, and now they have the light that dwell within them. Jesus dwells within them and begins to clean them up. You see, after we become a Christian, it's a beginning. There's going to be things in our life that are still need to be worked on after we're saved. Yes, we're sanctified, but it's a beginning to walk in obedience to the Holy Ghost. He's going to reveal things in my life that I need to get rid of after I become a Christian. And he still reveals things. It's amazing how I'll have a good time with Christ in my devotions and in my walk with him. And all of a sudden, there's a relationship that comes and tests, and I come out of character. And the Spirit comes to me and says, Randall, that's not right. You need to apologize. You see, we still have testings. We still get tested. We still fail. Sometimes we don't fail. But you understand, after we come to Christ, it's a beginning. He wants to clean us up. We need to walk in obedience. If there's something in your life, there's things in our lives that you won't even see after you come to Christ. He wants to clean us up. He wants us to turn away from. He wants to free us. Salvation's a beginning of a walk in obedience. And that's why some come to him and they get tired and they don't want to give. They don't want to walk in obedience. They don't want to give it up. And they turn away and they say, you know, the sower, the seed is the story of that. You know, the thistles, they choked them out, and the cares of this world. And they decide, I don't want this anymore. I just don't want it anymore. And they walk in and they turn away. We have to continue on. We have to endure. If the Holy Ghost is convicting you, brothers and sisters, it's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Don't bury it. That's what Achan did. Confess it. Be obedient. Turn away from it. The loving Savior that we invite wants to free you, wants to free me. Obey him. Confess it. And you'll be freed. You can have an everlasting life. John understood these things. He understood that Christ has come to free us and to free his people Israel. Any thoughts? I'm sorry, I get excited. But it's something to be excited about. I believe God's word with all my heart. It has changed my life. It has kept me from a lot of regrets. And it has given me eternal life. And even give me a piece of life here on earth. I'm thankful. Are you thankful, brothers and sisters? Are you thankful?
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God. Any thoughts? Moving along. It says here, he that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So we have a choice. John's talking about two pictures here. Our brother Eric opened. We can't serve two masters. Which do you want? Do you want life or do you want death? We have a choice. And that's a blessing. God has given us a choice. We have been raised with the truth. Each one in this building knows the truth. The truth will make you free. It's a blessing, brothers and sisters. There's some people who don't know the truth, and their fathers don't want their children to know the truth. They want their children in deception. They'll kill you if you tell them the truth. They love living in deceitfulness. And some people, the truth is an offense. It's a stumbling block. Others, it's a freedom. John is betraying Christ, the Son of the living God. He that believeth. You see, the day of Noah, God's wrath was coming. And God's wrath is coming today. There is a day that God's wrath will be poured out, brothers and sisters. It's coming. It's coming. God gave Noah a way to escape. And he gave us a way to escape. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful that I was raised with somebody who taught me and guided me and guarded my thought life and my imagination, who reprimanded my behavior and encouraged me to do what's right until the Holy Ghost dwelt within me. And today I have him dwelling within me, and he works and he cleans me up and he guards me from darkness. And if there's anything that's offensive, he wants me to get rid of it in my life. Closing, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have taste, and that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God as precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sirene a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confound. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, which believe be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's us, brothers and sisters. And why do you think John's head rolled on a platter one day? Because when he told the truth, somebody was offended. That's what happens, brothers and sisters. As we are light today and we stand on truth, we're going to offend some people. It's called the world. They don't want no parts of the truth. And our heads might roll one day too. But he didn't compromise. His testimony was true. And I pray each one of our testimonies will stand true. Be obedient. It's the Holy Ghost that helps us overcome. We are a blessed people. We have a lot to be thankful for. And we are not worthy, but he has made us worthy. Are you grateful for that today? Are you living in freedom today? Or have you accepted Jesus Christ and are living in bondage today? Is Christ bounding you because you're not willing to let go? Or you're not willing to be obedient? If you're in bondage because of Jesus Christ, you better examine your life, because he comes to set us free. And how we become free is by obedience. May God richly bless us as we encourage one another and live for him. God bless you. Thank you for your kind attention. Any thoughts? Any thoughts before we close? Amen.
And I think an explanation of that, at least from my perspective, is best that I can understand. John 6:44 clearly states, no man cometh unto the Son, except the Father who sent him draw him. And that first man that's referred to, that no man receiveth his testimony, is a carnal man. We in ourselves cannot get the message, but when Christ
Amen, brother. Appreciate that. Any other thoughts? That was encouraging. Any other thoughts? May God bless you as your revivals continue here at Pleasant Hill. Thank you.